Hey guys, welcome to the vlog number 12 as we're covering finished work eschatology. As you can see, a little change of venue today. I am actually sitting out on the back patio at my home here in Southern California. I want to use Matthew chapter 24 verse 14 today as our kickoff point. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And this verse has been used to manipulate evangelism for a long, long time, an evangelism of obligation that is used to bring on the end of the world. Because I've, you know, heard it taught and said that we've got to go tell the whole world about Jesus, because once we finally tell the whole world about Jesus, then the end will come. Now, I want to say that I do very much believe in evangelism. It's been an enormous part of my life and ministry. However, evangelism should spring forth out of love, out of a desire to see the life of God come alive inside of people, to see life more abundant come out of their lives from the inside. Our desire should be to evangelize them out of love, not out of some mistaken obligation to bring on the end of the world. So let's look at this within context. Now, first of all, you need to remember the question that was asked by the disciples in verse 3. Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then Jesus, 11 verses later, says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So if they were saying the end of the eon, end of the age, in verse 3, then we're talking about the end of the age in verse 14. So Jesus is not saying that future generations have to go evangelize and that will bring on the end of time. He is saying that this generation in which he's talking in Matthew 24, they will spread the gospel and they will cover the earth, and then the end will come. Some have used this as sort of an anti-preterism verse, an anti-8070 verse. They've said there's no way that you can logically and truthfully say that the gospel went forth to the whole world if you think that the end of the age is AD 70. They would tell you, I've heard it said, you surely don't think the gospel went to the whole world. Well, I would just say it doesn't matter what I think. I want to see what the New Testament says. And again, these answers, and we'll use a little bit of extra biblical today, but most 99% of today just straight from the scriptures. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Did you notice verse 6? Read it for yourself. The gospel has come to you as it has also in all the world. Now listen to what he says in the same chapter, verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul claims in the first chapter of Colossians two things. He claims that all of the world has heard the truth of the gospel. And in verse 23, he claims that everyone, every creature under the heavens has heard the gospel. His words, not mine. So if the gospel is the good news of Jesus, Paul believed every creature under the heavens had heard it. Now, he obviously doesn't think much about dogs and cats and horses and pigs being those creatures. I think that's pretty obvious. They don't need the gospel. So, and is he deceived enough to believe that his little part of the world is the only part of the world where people live? We know now for a fact that there were people living in North America while Paul was writing this in what we would consider Asia or the Middle East. So does he think the gospel has went to them? The reality is he doesn't even think of them. In his world, it has nothing to do with them. I want to show you some more from the book of Romans before we try to talk a little bit about the Greek word here, which I think will help us out. Listen to Paul writing to the church at Rome three separate times. It's interesting that once at the beginning of the book, once in the middle of the book, once near the end of the book, Paul makes a very similar statement. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul's terminology, the whole world has heard of your faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. So again, and this passage he's quoting from Isaiah, that the whole world has heard the sound of the prophet's voice. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So Paul says, your faith's been made known in the whole world. He says the whole world has heard the message. He says all of the nations have heard the prophetic scriptures as preached by Paul. And so three passages in the book of Romans alone, the Apostle Paul makes a reference to all of the world or all of the heavens or all of the nations. So if Paul believed that according to Colossians, everyone had heard the gospel, every creature, he said, his words, not mine, every creature under the heavens have heard the gospel, that the gospel has went forth to the whole world, both of those are from Colossians, that the whole world had heard the testimony of the Roman church, that the whole world had heard the message of the prophet Isaiah, that the whole world had heard all of the prophetic scriptures. He's not talking about North and South America, Australia, all these other places. He's talking about the world in which he knows. So when Jesus says, and let's read it again, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come, is not talking about the gospel needing to be preached in North America, South America, Australia, around the world, 2,000 years after Jesus said it, and then will be the end of the world. Jesus is saying this gospel is going to go out to the world, and then the end is going to come, and the early church believed they had accomplished that mission of taking the gospel outside of just the walls of Jerusalem to the world. Remember that whenever the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts, Jesus says in the first chapter, that you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. I call this the rock hits the pond. Watch the ripples go out. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's literally going to expand outward like ripples in a pond. And the gospel did exactly that. I subtitled today the Great Commission. Most of us are familiar with the Great Commission. Go forth in all the world and preach the gospel. I want to read that to you from Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. We're going to do a little Greek study for just a second. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word, that's the scripture that has been used to fuel evangelism. And I don't think there's anything wrong with using that scripture to fuel evangelism. Jesus told us to go into all the world. He told us to preach the gospel to every creature. He actually told it to the disciples. They took it the only way they knew how to do it. And you and I should be doing it the way that we know how to do it, and that's take it to the world. But what did he mean when he said world? Well, the Greek word used here for world is oikoumene. O-I-K-O-U-M-E-N-E is the English transliteration out of the Hebrew, out of the Greek, rather. And the word oikoumene means inhabited earth. So Jesus was saying, go into all the inhabited earth and preach the gospel to every creature. So they were limited by what they knew to be the inhabited earth. And that would have had different definitions for different people. If you were talking to a Roman citizen or a member of the Roman hierarchy and you had said the whole world, they would have thought no further than the boundaries of Rome, because for them, the Roman Empire was the world. If you had said the whole earth to a Greek, the whole world, the whole oikoumene to a Greek, they would have thought everyone that speaks Greek, because for them the whole world was just those who spoke Greek. If you had said it to a Jew, and this is really the audience in Matthew 24, if you had said it to a Jew, Jewish Christians in that in Matthew 24, but a Jewish man or woman would have thought Palestine and the tribes of Israel and anywhere where the tribes lay their foot, that's the inhabited world. So the world was very small. You've heard the statement made, the world's becoming a smaller place. Well, it's always been as big as you. That's in the history of man, the world's been just as big as us. Our world, our street, our block, our city, our state, our country. And it's really only been as big as us. And now a lot of us are seeing the world's a much bigger place than we ever thought that it was. And so, of course, we know that there's a massive globe out there and a lot of people living on planet Earth. But they didn't realize that. And so Jesus is not pandering to ignorance. He's simply speaking the lingo and the language that they would have understood, that the gospel had to go forth to the world. Let me give you another example of this. If you're actually looking in your hard copy here in Mark 16, just sneak over to Luke chapter 2, which is just probably a page turn away. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. I just want to give you an example of how this phrase was commonly used in New Testament literature. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. I think the old King James says that all the world should be taxed. Now, notice the lingo that Dr. Luke uses. All the world. However, the Romans did not tax people outside of the Roman Empire because it wasn't their empire. So shouldn't it have said the decree went out from Caesar Augustus so that all of the Roman Empire would be taxed? That would have been, you could get the same effect by saying all the world, because to a Roman, all the world was all of the Roman Empire, or vice versa. So again, we're not to read Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 and assume that when little baby Jesus is inside of Mary's womb and the whole world is being taxed, that Rome was sending envoys across the Atlantic to tax the Native Americans in North America. No, that doesn't, just because the scripture says all the world doesn't mean that the definition of that is the same as you might think when you think of, or I might think when I think of all the world. Let me give you another example. Some people might think I wear these examples out. I think that we've gotten so used to moving so fast and almost eating a fast food diet of eschatology and Bible understanding and hermeneutics that it's almost too much sometimes if you use too many scriptures, because people, it's almost like we start tuning out. We just keep waiting for the next zinger. The reality is we need to slow down and realize that the Word of God was written over 1,500 years, and it was written to speak very deep things about deep issues. It might be time to take some deep investigation. Acts chapter 2, I want to just remind you of something instead of taking you to read scripture after scripture. I want you to read it on your own a little bit too. I think that's part of Bible study. In Acts chapter 2, whenever the Holy Spirit is poured out in Jerusalem, the Bible says that there were, verse 5, that there were people there from every nation under heaven. And again, this is just an example of New Testament literature, that every nation under heaven, yet we know that not every country on planet Earth was at Jerusalem at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, again, that's lingo that in a Jew's mind would have meant every place in which a Jew sets their foot, somebody was in Jerusalem on that day. Why? Because it was the Feast of Pentecost, and being a feast day, there's going to be representatives from all over the world. So, again, not trying to establish, not trying to beat a dead horse, so to speak, but just to establish that this meant more than maybe what meets the eye. Let's use a little non-biblical historical record here for a moment. I want to read to you from a book, actually a commentary style writing called Matthew and Mark by a writer named Henry Cowles, Cowles. Henry Cowles published Matthew and Mark in 1881. Now, that was about 5 to 6 decades after the very first historical mention of what we would call dispensational eschatology came out. So by the 1880s, while dispensationalism was becoming popular, especially in the Western world, there was still a large majority of scholars in the church who did not adhere to dispensationalism, who adhered to the orthodoxy of the previous 1800 years of church history, which was believing that AD 70 had been the fall of the Mosaic economy. Henry Cowles writes this in regards to the whole world hearing the gospel. I'll read it from Henry Cowles, Matthew and Mark, page 208, published 1881. It appears from credible records that the gospel was preached in Idumea, Syria, and Mesopotamia by Jude, in Ethiopia by Candace's eunuch and Matthias, in Pontus, Galatia, and the neighboring parts of Asia by Peter, in the territories of the seven Asiatic churches by John, in Parthia by Matthew, in Scythia by Philip and Andrew, in the northern and western parts of Asia by Bartholomew, in Persia by Simon and Jude, in Medea, Carmania, and several eastern parts by Thomas, through the vast tract from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum by Paul, as also in Italy and probably Spain and Gaul, in most of which places Christian churches were planted in less than 30 years after the death of Christ, that is, before the destruction of Jerusalem. There's some historical record 135, 140 years ago from a Bible scholar writing about the fall of Jerusalem, not preceding the entire world having heard the gospel, the entire inhabited world. Somebody might counter, I've heard it countered, that everyone is destined to hear the gospel. I do not agree. The world, the Bible does not tell us that every person that ever lives on planet Earth will hear the gospel. In fact, I think there's always going to be someone who has not heard the gospel. That gives us reason to continue to tell people good news. The world has not exhausted itself on the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, by telling the whole world, you are not ushering in the return that we're talking about in Matthew chapter 24. So that would beg one question as we head to the end. If you're saying that the whole world heard the gospel before the fall of Jerusalem, does that mean that there's any use for evangelism, or is there any biblical precedent for us to evangelize the world past AD 70? And I would say Matthew chapter 22 has a great answer to that. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus gives the parable of the wedding feast. I want to read it. I want you to listen to the timing. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king, I'm in verse 2, who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. I don't know if you've caught it, but between verses 2 and 7, you just heard encapsulated the story of God speaking a wedding feast to his people. They reject him, they mock him, they beat and kill his servants, and so he sends his army and burns their city. This is a prophecy. We're in Matthew 22. We're leading right up to it. Then, this is after the burning of the city, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And the terminology, both bad and good, shows us that Jesus was telling his audience, once the army has destroyed the city, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get people, some of which you might consider good, some of which you might consider bad, and I'm going to bring them all into the same wedding hall. I believe that's where we are now. We are seeing the highways and the byways for the last 2,000 years. God been bringing in both the good and the bad into the kingdom, into the wedding hall, past the destruction of the city. So yes, evangelism is still effective. It is still important. We still need to tell people about Jesus. We still want to introduce them to the life of God. Just because the judgment has fallen against the Mosaic economy doesn't mean evangelism is over. It actually means evangelism now should have no hindrance of performance-based theology. Next week, we're going to deal with that abomination, that desolation that happens in verse 15. It is a part that a lot of people want to hear some things about, and there's some things about the book of Daniel that you do not want to miss in the next week or two right here on the vlog. We'll see you later. God bless.